Welcome to the online ministry of Faith Christian Fellowship. FCF is a dynamic word and spirit-empowered church where faith and family meet. If you would like more information about our church or other media resources, please visit us at faithchristianfellowship.com. We hope you enjoy this message.
Psalms 47:1, clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. I believe when we come to the house of God, hell should get nervous. Amen? I think hell should be nervous because what we're doing for the kingdom of God. David said in Psalms 122:1, I was glad when they said unto us, let us go into the house of the Lord. He also said in Psalms 84:10, better is one day in his courts than thousands elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper at the house of God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. So go ahead and lift your voice this morning and give your Lord and Savior a hand clap of praise. Amen. It's wonderful to be with you. When your pastor asked me to minister back in the winter, and he said he would be on vacation, I said, you remember what happened to Moses in Exodus chapter 32 when he went away on vacation? He comes back and there's a golden calf in the middle of the church. So we'll make sure not to do that today. But for those of you that don't know me, I'm Billy Manuel. So I was talking to Brother Bill before service, and he informed me that this church is not big enough for two Bills. So we went back in the back of the church, and I said, well, we can settle this like men, and we can arm wrestle for it. I'm not going to embarrass anyone and tell you who won, but please continue to refer to him as Bill, and I'm Billy Manuel today. For those of you who don't know me, my lovely wife, this year, we're celebrating our anniversary, or this month. And so last summer, I was preaching down in Delbarton, West Virginia, in Mingo County. My wife's from Mingo County. Back home, we say Mango County. And so I was preaching a revival there this past summer. And as we were driving down, she was informing me that before she and I ever went on a date, we used to run into each other a lot at church when I would go on my preaching circuit, preaching in revivals, youth revivals, different services. We would run into each other, and I thought they were divine appointments from God. And little did I know, behind the scenes, she and her mother were manipulating things and trying to, you know, just making these encounters and stuff. So, I mean, she would follow me around and whenever I would preach. So I said all that to say this. On July the 20th, of, you know, this month, 20 years ago, I married my stalker, Sabrina, and we've been together ever since. Proverbs 31:10 says, whosoever finds a good wife finds a good, or a virtuous wife finds a good thing, and her worth is far above rubies. I'm blessed, honey. I love you, and I appreciate you for all that you do for 20 wonderful years. I knew I was in trouble the first time I heard my wife speak in tongues. You know what she said? Shop a lot, shop a lot, shop a lot. As Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11, I lie not. Amen. Amen. Well, it's wonderful to be with you today. If you have your Bibles, let's turn to Psalms chapter 34 and verse 1. Psalms chapter 34 and verse 1. As you're turning there, I'll tell you one of my favorite jokes. This little boy really wanted a red bicycle for Christmas. So he asked his mother for a red bicycle. She said, well, you need to write a letter to Jesus and ask him for that red bicycle. So he sat down and started to write a letter. And he said, dear Jesus, I've been a really good boy this year, and I would love to have a red bicycle for Christmas. Well, he knew that wasn't true, so he ripped that letter up, threw it in the wastebasket. He penned a second letter that said, dear Jesus, I've been a pretty good boy this year. Well, he caught himself, said, well, that's not true either. He penned a third letter, said, dear Jesus, I've been a really bad boy this year. Well, he caught himself. He threw that one in the wastebasket. He said, there's no way the Lord's going to bring me a red bicycle if I tell him how bad I was. So he thought for a few moments, ran down the steps of his house, went down the sidewalk to the local Catholic church that was adjacent to their home. On the front lawn of the Catholic church was a statue of Mary. He grabbed the statue of Mary, went back to his bedroom, slid it underneath his bed, and penned a fourth letter that said, dear Jesus, if you ever want to see your mother again, you better get me a red bicycle for Christmas. Psalms 144:15 says, happy are the people whose God is the Lord. Isaiah 12:3 says, therefore with joy shall you draw from the wells of salvation. Nehemiah 18 says, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. 1 Peter 1:18 talks about salvation, says it's joy unspeakable and full of glory. Psalms 34:1, David is speaking here.
I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth.
Amen. Praise the Lord. That's my youngest son, Hudson. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart. So many times we think the youth is the church of tomorrow, but actually they're the church of today. Paul said in 1 Timothy 4:12, let no man despise thy youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. 1 Samuel 16:7 says, man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. So when David was speaking here in Psalms 34:1, he said, I will bless the Lord at all times. That means I will bless the Lord when I get the promotion. I'll bless the Lord when I'm looked over upon the promotion. I'll bless the Lord when the healing manifests in my body. I'm still going to bless the Lord when the healing has not yet manifested in my body. I will bless the Lord when I'm on the mountain. I'm still going to bless the Lord when I'm going through the valley. He said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Years ago, for those of you that don't know, I work at a place called HNTB. I work with Serena, Sheila, and Latasha, and I went to school for civil engineering. That's not who I am, but that's what I do. So many times people identify themselves as what they do, and when they lose their job, they've lost their identity. I'm a child of the Most High God. God has anointed me for such a time as this. Romans 8:14 says, for as many are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For we did not receive the spirit of bondage, again the fear, but the spirit of adoption, of whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Luke 2:49 says that God is your Father. So I was working one day on a project on the West Virginia Turnpike, and I'd worked on with this particular contractor for numerous years, and I was out there. I was going to be out there for about a week, and it was day one of my week-long duration out there. And so there was a young boy that they just hired out of the union hall that came over and struck up a conversation with me. I'd never met this boy before. When I say boy, he was probably late teens, early 20s, just graduated high school, went through the union hall, the training, and I believe he was in the carpenters union, and he came over and started talking to me. Well, he didn't know me, so we started talking. He said, man, I'm down here in this location. He said, I'm looking to have a good time. He said, are there any good bars around here? And I said, well, I'm not familiar with this area. He said, well, I'm looking to go get drunk and find some women. And so for 17 years, my home church has been New Life Church in Huntington, West Virginia. So I asked him, I said, well, do you ever work in the Huntington area? He said, well, sometimes I do. We have a project going on down there. I may go down later on this year. I said, well, there's an establishment down there that I love to frequent from time to time. He said, are there women there? I said, yeah, there's all kinds of women there. I said, actually, I met my wife at a place just like this. He said, do they have some pretty good music? Do they play live music? I said, they have wonderful music. I love the music that they play there. So he said, he asked more questions. He said, well, if I'm ever in the area, I'll hit you up and we'll go on a weekend. I said, well, listen, most of the time that I go, I said, it's either on Sundays or Wednesdays. And he said, you like to get drunk on Sundays and Wednesdays? I said, I love to get drunk on Sundays and Wednesdays. Ephesians 5:18 says, do not be drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit of God that is in you. Jeremiah 23:9 says, and I was like a drunken man and like a man whose wine has overcome because of the Lord and because of his holy words. So he said, well, what kind of beers do they sell? Do they sell craft beer? I said, I'm not sure what all they sell. I said, but I do know they have new wine from the portals of glory. He still had no idea what I was talking about. He said, man, this place sounds awesome. He said, what's the name of this bar? I said, well, it's called New Life Church in Huntington, West Virginia, where you can make Jesus Lord of your life. Romans 3:4 says, it's the goodness of God that draws men unto repentance. Now, I didn't browbeat him and tell him he's going straight to hell. That was not the way the Lord allowed me to minister to him at that time. But I just shared the goodness of God, how Jesus wants to come in your life and transform you and change you down on the inside. And the way that you're living, you don't have to live that way anymore. anymore. God can come in and transform every cell of your body. By the end of the week, he asked me to pray with him. I prayed with him. I prayed for his family and all these things. But God opened up a door for me to be able to minister him. I'm so glad that when David said, I will bless the Lord at all times, that means in church, outside of church, in the workplace, in the schoolhouse, in the jailhouse, in the penthouse, you will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in your mouth. That's why David said in the 100th Psalm, make a joyful shout to God, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, it is he who made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Enter into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him. Bless his name. Why, David? For the Lord, he is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures unto all generations. That's why David said in Psalms 34 and 8, oh, come taste and see that the Lord, he is good. I will bless the Lord at all times. Whenever David was speaking here in Psalms 34, it's almost, I want to extrapolate from this text and also Psalms 142. He was running from King Kish, and he was, at one time he was in the cave of Adullam encouraging himself. But he was saying, listen, if I bless the Lord at all times, God's presence will show up right here in this midst. See, when you praise God, that gives God the opportunity to show up right there in the mess with you. I work at a place, there's many times I tell people there's up days and getting up days. Romans 4:17 says, call those things as be not as though they were. There's times where I have to prepare myself when I go to work, where I get up and I say, do you remember the old Pentecostal? We used to sing this in the Pentecostal church. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord. Well, Psalms 118:24 says, this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. So there's times where I've got to encourage myself before I go into battle. God will put you in a battle. You are a soldier. You're on assignment. God doesn't put soldiers in a lazy boy, but he puts them in the battle. He puts them on the front line so they can declare his glory, watch his presence manifest, and watch lives be changed because of what is able and capable to be done through the body of Christ. So when David said, I will bless the Lord at all times, that means that no matter what you find yourself in, you have the opportunity to either curse the situation, talk about how bad it is, or you can lift Jesus up in that situation. Proverbs 6:2 says, you are snared by the words of your mouth. You're entrapped by what you speak. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and he that eats the fruit shall be blessed thereof. Matthew 15:18, Jesus said, those things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defileth a man. Matthew 12:34, the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. In other words, what's coming out of your mouth is coming from your heart. If you're constantly talking doubt and unbelief and discouragement, you're allowing yourself to be defeated in that situation. But if you say, I'm a child of the Most High God, that Esther 6:16, that God has called me for such a time as this, then you've allowed God to show up right there in the midst of your mess. Psalms 22:3 says that God inhabits the praises of his people. I was preaching years ago, my oldest son, who's not with me here today, he's actually staying with his grandparents, Branson. I believe he was 3 years old, and this pastor had called me up and asked me to come minister at his church. And so he called me up, and I prayed about it. I said, okay, I'll come. What's your address? I'll put it in, Google Maps or whatever. He had no idea. He was an old-timer. He had no idea what I was talking about. I said, drop me a pen. He's like, I don't, what are you talking about, drop your pen? I said, well, what's your address? He said, well, there's really no address. The church is kind of hard to find. I thought, oh, God, Lord, where are you sending me? So he told me, you drive down this road. Once you get off the road, you'll turn over on Route 10. At the end of there's an intersection here. You're going to turn over on the gravel road. And then when you're driving down this gravel road, look for Sister Hazel's barn on the left. When you see Sister Hazel's barn, you're going to drive a quarter of a mile. Then you're going to see several oak trees over on the right. When you see the big white oak on the right, you're going to turn left on that dirt road. You're going to meander down the dirt road a couple miles. And he said, look beside the road over the hill. You're going to see the church. I'm thinking to myself, where in the world is God sending me? So Branson went with me during this service. My oldest son, my youngest, Hudson, who read the opening scripture, wasn't feeling well. He was about a year old. Sabrina stayed home with him. So we get there in the church, and on a Sunday, I mean, there was probably, it's a small country church, maybe 40, 50 people, something like that. And we're sitting on the front of the church on the right side. And so Branson's with me. I have his coloring book, his crayons. He's doing, you know, all the, you know, trying to keep him quiet while the service is going on. Well, I get up to minister. Within 5 minutes of the message, I knew I was at the first church of the Chosen Frozen. I mean, there was no response whatsoever while I was ministering. I mean, most of the men were sitting there with their arms folded saying, "Bless me if you can, I dare you. I dare you to get a response out of me." So I'm preaching, and I mean, I'm preaching the Word of God, and I'm sweating profusely. I'm thinking to myself, "Lord, just get me out of here. I'll never come back." And so I'm preaching, and I think, I can't promise you this, but I believe Branson knew Daddy was in trouble while I was preaching. He saw me up there sweating and preaching the Word of God, and he's sitting on the front row. He stands up, and he looks up at me at the front of the church, and then he looks back at the church. He looks up at me a second time, and then looks back at the church. A third time, he looks up at me, looks back at the church, and to the top of his lungs, as loud as he could, he went, "Praise the Lord," and sit down. That was the only response during that entire service. The pastor called me up afterwards, and I said, you know, I told him I'd pray about it, and I did. And to this day, he's asked me back several times. I haven't went back. But I thought to myself, if a three-year-old kid knows he should praise the Lord, then how much more should you and I, who are saved, regenerated, brought into the family of God, anointed by God, healed and set apart, how much more should we lift our hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord and rejoice because of God's goodness and what He's done in your life? You've got to realize that the greater one lives on the inside of you. 1 John 4:4 says, "And you are of God, little children, and hath overcame them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world." That right there is enough to go ahead and rejoice, because you know that no matter what comes your way, that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is on the inside of you. I was reading an article one time, this holistic healer that didn't, agnostic, atheist, whatever, didn't believe in God, but she was being interviewed by a news station, and they was asking her, she was a yoga instructor, and she was talking about the different yoga techniques and poses and all these things, and one of the questions at the end of the article that the lady asked her and said, for people that have busy lives and busy schedules that don't have time to do yoga for an hour a day, what's the one pose that you would recommend that they could do that would help? And this lady, I mean, she jumped straight in. She said, "There's one pose that I recommend." She said, "When you do this pose," they have done, neuroscientists have done testing on it, and it alleviates stress, anxiety, you know, what the worrisome feeling subsides, all these things. She said, "It's the best pose that you could do." And the lady doing the interview asked her, said, "What pose is that?" She stood up. She said, "You stand up with your feet spread apart, lift both hands, and look up," she said, "to the skies." And I thought to myself, Psalms 134 verse 2 says, "Lift your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord." 1 Timothy 2:8, Paul said, "I desire that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath nor doubting." When you lift your hands, it's a sign of submission that you're giving this problem, this mess, this junk over to God, and allow God's presence to intervene upon that situation. "I will bless the Lord at all times. It doesn't matter what comes my way. I know who holds tomorrow, and He's going to get me through every mess I find myself in." So the presence of God, whenever you lift up the name of Jesus, it gives Him the opportunity to show up. The presence of God, one name that declares God is Ezekiel 48:35, says He's Jehovah Shammah, for the Lord is there. That means the omnipresence of God. That simply means God's everywhere all at the same time. He's in this service. He's watching over your children in the back. He's watching over your home. He's watching over your dogs and your cat. Well, not cats, but He's watching over your dogs. He's everywhere all at the same time. But then there's the manifest presence of God, where God reveals himself. That's why David said in Psalms 139, verse 8, he said, if I ascend up in heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, thou art there. In other words, you cannot escape the presence of God. That means when you find yourself in a mess, you've got to realize that God's presence was always there with you. Maybe you didn't recognize it or not, but he was with you in the unemployment line. He was with you in the ambulance ride. He was with you in the car accident. He was with you in the hospital. He was with you in the operating room. He was with you through the divorce. God's always been with you, and because of that, his presence will manifest in your life and see you through today. So when the presence of God shows up, when David was speaking here, the provision of God always shows up. My boys and I, Sabrina, we were driving back from Southridge. This was around Christmas time. It's probably been 5 years or so ago. And so, you know, most of you know, you go behind BW3s, that road that takes you out to 119, where we could head northbound to get off Davis Creek exit. Typically, there's panhandlers out there at the signaled intersection. So we're out there, and there's two, actually, a male and a female out there, you know, asking for money, had signs up and everything. My boys, you know, they were a lot younger at the time, started asking me questions. They said, Dad, why are they out there, you know, asking and begging for money? And so I was explaining to them there could be numerous variables. Maybe it was decisions they made, all these different things. And we're talking through it. And as I'm saying this, I finish up by saying, sons, you will boys, you will never have to worry about that. You'll never be out there begging. And as soon as I said that, Brother Bill, there was an external thought that came in from the outside that came into my mind and said, oh, I can't believe you said that. That was arrogant. That was cockiness. I mean, you know, and then I started having these mini flashes that I saw my sons, you know, living in a vehicle, begging people for money. And this only transpired over maybe like 10 seconds. This external thought came in. But as soon as I started, you know, after 10 seconds, something rose up on the inside of me. And then I spoke to my sons. I said, boys, the reason why your father said that is because David said in Psalms 37, 25, I once was young, but now I am old. I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. That's the reason why your father can say that, is because God's word says that. And if you'll put God's word in your heart when you don't need it, God will bring it out of you when you do need it. So when you find yourself in the midst of battles and storms, you bless the Lord, and God, what you have deposited down on the inside, God will bring it out of you. Psalms 119:11 says, thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee. 2 Timothy says, he said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So you've got to place God's word down on the inside of you and realize that God's provision is with you every step of the way. When my wife and I, when we first got married, we used to run a lot of 5Ks together. This is before we had children. We'd run the Susan G. Komen and the Katie Cobb, all these races, and we'd always, you know, you get matching T-shirts. So this was early in our marriage, within probably the first couple years, you know, the honeymoon phase where you still have that new car smell and everything. Can't keep your hands off each other. And so we recently ran a 5K. And so I got off work early before she did, so I went home, and I used to work out a lot at this time, and, you know, I'm working out, I get done, take a shower, and I put on one of those 5K shirts that we recently ran the race. So I put it on, and I hear Sabrina, she gets home, she's walking down the hallway, I'm back in the bedroom cleaning up and everything, and I see her coming, you know, I hear her coming, so I've got like a little mini flex on, because this shirt, I mean, I looked pretty good, at least I thought I did. I mean, you know, what muscles were in tone or definition was there. I was, you know, I had a little mini flex on. I wanted Sabrina to see that she was blessed to be married to me. And so she walks in, and she proceeds to ask one of the dumbest questions any wife could ask her husband. And she asked me the question, why do you have my T-shirt on? And I said, wait, what? She said, why do you have my T-shirt on? I said, I don't have your T-shirt on. I've got my shirt on. We just ran the 5K together. She said, no, you have my T-shirt on because it's really tight. I said, no, it's tight because I've been working out, eating protein, putting on muscle mass to look good for you. She said, no, it's tight because you got a ladies' extra small T-shirt on. Listen, before she came down the hallway and walked in the bedroom, I was in front of the mirror flexing. I thought, not bad, Mr. Manuel. You look pretty good. Not bad at all. Sabrina's going to like what she sees. Well, she didn't like what she saw. She said, no, you've got my shirt on. She proceeds to go over to the dirty clothes basket, pulls out my shirt. Saints of God, I put it on. It looked like a moo-moo hanging off of me. I mean, it looked like a lady's sundress just frolicking through the, daisy fields. And so I put this on, and I mean, it's hanging off of me, super baggy, no muscles showing whatsoever when I've got this big T-shirt on me. Before she came home, I felt like I was Arnold Schwarzenegger looking in the mirror. After that, it turns out it was just Danny DeVito there, just tiny and small. But, you know, for a short duration, a short moment, I saw myself in a different light. You ever read over in Judges chapter 6, verse 12, when Gideon was hiding from the armies of Israel and God shows up? I mean, he's hiding. He's afraid. He's scared. He's terrified. And the Lord says, thou mighty man of valor. A guy who's hiding from the enemy at the wine press threshing wheat, but God looks at him and says, you are a mighty man of valor. Why? Because God saw the potential in Gideon's life. You know, I tell you that illustration to make you laugh, but for a few moments I thought I was muscular and toned and all these things, but I saw myself in a different light. Whenever you bless the Lord and God's presence shows up and God's provision shows up, you will see yourself through the lens of God. You're not just an old sinner saved by grace anymore, but you're a child of the Most High God. The anointing has been applied to your brow. Listen, God knows your future better than you know your past. The enemy does not have the final say, but God is going to write the final chapter in your life. And I believe the last 6 months of 2025, you're going to see an outpouring of the Holy Ghost in the body of Christ, and people are going to start recognizing who they are and what they have because of what Jesus did at the cross of Calvary. Go ahead. If you believe that today, do what Psalms 47:1 says. Clap your hands, all ye people, and shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Shout because you're saved. Shout because you're healed. Shout because you're delivered. Shout because you're set free and God's anointing is on your life. If you knew what was on the other side of your mountain, you would go ahead and rejoice because you know that breakthrough is coming. If the president of the United States were to walk into this facility, this church right now, despite your political affiliation, because of respect and honor of the position that he holds, everyone would stand up, most everyone would stand up and clap and give him adoration for the position he holds. But I want you to know something. The President of the United States didn't show up today, but the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, God Almighty, showed up today. And when you bless the Lord at all times, it allows God to manifest himself in a great and mighty way. Back during COVID at work, people, they were sending people home to work. They were cutting back all overtime. And, you know, some people were being furloughed across the company, laid off, part-time, all these things. And, you know, we were making provisions. And so my wife and I, when we were sent home, I mean, we did the practical things. We went through the cabinets and everything and started prioritizing because no one had ever been through this before in our lifetime. So we weren't sure what to do, but we started, prioritizing things. And my wife and I, we started to pray. We prayed day one that I was sent home. And my specific prayer was, Lord, I pray that whenever clients ask for an engineer, that they would not ask for just anyone, but they would specifically ask for Billy Manuel. James 4:2 says, you have not because you ask not. So that was our prayer. We hooked up. And within a couple of days, my direct supervisor, Phil at the time, he called me up. It was within a couple of days, and this is no exaggeration. He calls me up, and he says, man, there's not enough of you going to go around. I said, what do you mean? He said, I've got several projects. There was Virginia, Washington, D.C., West Virginia. And they all said, man, we want Billy out there working on this project. We need you out there to oversee this project. And I thought to myself, man, it's amazing to see God's favor be released in your life. Psalms 13:5 says, his anger is but for a moment, his favor is for life. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy is coming in the morning. That means you may go to bed crying, but you're going to wake up rejoicing because you know God's favor is on your life. So during that time, I mean, we got together and God was funneling people that I hadn't spoken to in years, maybe a decade, were sending us money, sowing into the ministry and all these things. And we were able to channel that money out into various ministries and help other ministries out. God was using us as an avenue during that time. And so we saved up and so we were going to go out and purchase a vehicle. And we'd been saving up and it was during COVID. And I'll never forget one of my coworkers said, man, do you not realize what's going on? You know, there's a pandemic out there, and you're talking about going out and buying a vehicle. You know, a lot of times as Christians, it's like, you know, God, do you not know what, you know, God tells you to do something, and you're like, well, Lord, I know you told me to do this, but did you not know the ramifications if I do that? And it's not like God's going to respond and say, you know what, Billy, I'm so glad you told me that. I completely forgot. I forgot that you had needs next week and next month. I completely forgot. No, God doesn't do that because he knows tomorrow. Matthew 6:34 says, take no thought of tomorrow, what you should eat, what you should drink, what you should wear. But consider, you know, goes on 26:28, consider the lilies of the field and the fowl of the air. God said, basically, if I take care of them, then surely I'll take care of you. So I had a coworker. He said, man, you know, he's trying to talk us out of buying a vehicle. And we prayed about it. 1 John 2:20 says, and we have an unction from the Holy Ghost, and we know all things. So my wife and I, we had peace about it. So we went out, and that guy, he's like, man, you're crazy. So we went out, paid cash, bought a Nissan Armada, 100% paid off. God blessed us during that time. But I'll never forget, he asked me the question. He said, are you crazy? And I thought to myself, yeah, I'm crazy. I'm just crazy enough to believe Philippians 4:19 that my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I'm just crazy enough to believe Genesis 22:14, he's Jehovah Jireh, Lord God, my provider. I'm just crazy enough to believe that Deuteronomy 18:18 says, remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that gives you the power to get wealth. I'm just crazy enough to believe Proverbs 10:22, that the blessing of the Lord, he maketh rich and he adds no sorrow to it. I'm just crazy enough to believe God's word. And when you're crazy enough to believe God's word and lift your voice and shout unto God with a voice of triumph, you're going to see God's presence manifest in your life. So many times people are saying what they're, you know, what social media is saying, what they're saying on Facebook. Stop giving into that and start speaking God's word over the situation. My wife and I, when we had our, you know, when the boys were really young, I'll never forget, and most of the time she's, you know, correcting me, but she came to me and she said, man, these boys are hard to raise. And I said, that's why we have them. So when you say stuff like, this is a hard place to work, that's why you're there. These are hard children to raise. That's why they're your children. Because God knows exactly what you're capable of doing when the anointing of God is down on the inside of you. So when you see it as a mess and a problem, God sees it as an avenue to get his glory in that situation because he's using you for such a time as this. Matthew 5:14 says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set upon the hill cannot be hid. Verse 16 says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's why you are anointed and called by God, because God's using you as an avenue to get his glory into that situation. So I'm going to bless the Lord at all times. It doesn't matter what comes my way. I know God's going to get me through any mess that I find myself in. Whenever, after that, weeks had passed by, and there was a long story, you know, post-COVID, my family was being attacked. I mean, my oldest son was being attacked, and long story short, we took him to the doctor. Basically, they said he had to have surgery. I came home, I shared it with Sabrina, and we said that's not what, you know, God was speaking to us. Isaiah 53:1 says, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? In other words, whose report will you believe? Now, I'm not against doctors or medicine or surgeries. God uses different tools in different situations. But when we prayed about it, we believed that God was going to perform a miracle in his life because God spoke to us. And I know as ministers, when you say that, people think, man, you're crazy. But if you would be sensitive enough to the Holy Spirit, you'll learn to hear that still small voice. Colossians 3:15 says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. In other words, many times when you have to make a decision, the most peace that you have is the decision that you need to make. So we prayed about it. And the doctors were like, well, listen, he needs to have surgery. We need to do this. And like I said, I'm not trying to put any condemnation on anyone. But we were believing God, and we knew what God had spoken to us. So long story short, during that time, I mean, everything seemed like it was going haywire in our life. I mean, it was just like, man, you know, every time you turn around, you're being attacked on every angle. And so I was home alone by myself one time. And I was reading a book by Smith Wigglesworth, and some different things were jumping out at me at the time. And I got in the kitchen, and I turned on some praise and worship music, and I took a chair from the table, and I put it in the middle of the kitchen. Now, no one saw me doing this, so I'm just telling you so you know I'm crazy behind closed doors. But I put that chair out there, and I told the enemy, I said, listen, enemy, you're going to sit right there. And said, you have been attacking my family for far too long. I am the spiritual high priest over my home. You're not going to attack my family anymore. We're going to get through this. There's going to be breakthrough. And I started going around that chair and praising the Lord for about an hour. And I said, no, enemy, you're not leaving. You're sitting right there, and you're going to watch me worship God, praise God. And within a week, everything that we were facing, all the struggles, God started moving the chess pieces around. My son is 11 years old. This was back during COVID, over 5 years ago. He hasn't had the surgery. He doesn't need the surgery. He never will need the surgery. But God started showing up right there. But I was in a situation where I was praising the Lord behind closed doors, and it gave God an avenue to show up right there in the midst. And I want you to know something. Sometimes people, listen, I know we get criticized as being charismatic, Pentecostal Christians, whatever you want to call us. And we get criticized as being uncouth or flamboyant or charismatic in our style of worship. But if you knew who I was over 20-some years ago, and what God brought me out of, you would start to rejoice and see that God is good and His mercy endures forever. So excuse me if I shout in my living room or if I go out onto my front porch and dance and praise the Lord. If you knew what God had brought me out of, you would rejoice too. I rejoice because when I was a child through elementary school, I had to go to speech class all the way through elementary school. I was bullied and ridiculed because I used to stutter as a kid, and kids made fun of me. It was likely attributed to the fact that the umbilical cord was wrapped around my neck. And the doctor said that he would never be able to speak clearly, that he would stutter for the rest of his life. The speech therapist, the PhD lady said the exact same thing. But yet I'm here today on July the 6th at Faith Christian Fellowship proclaiming in the gospel of Jesus Christ, letting you know that God's anointing is on your life and you need to bless the Lord at all times and let His praise continually be in your mouth. So whenever the presence shows up, the provision shows up, and then the power of God. I'll close out with this. When I was in college, I came home from West Virginia Tech, and I'm from Logan County, if you can't tell by my accent. And so we were shooting basketball at a gymnasium in Logan, and this was on a Friday night, and I got out outside of the gym, and there was a lady that pulled up and said, Brother Billy, did you hear about Sister Sue? I said, no, what happened? She said, Sister Sue had a stroke, and she's in the hospital, and she requested for you to come pray with her. Now, I was probably 20 or 21 years old at the time, and so if you didn't know Sister Sue, she blessed the Lord at all times. You would be at Kroger between the chicken breast and the chicken wings, and she'd see you walk around the corner, and she would say, praise the Lord, Brother Billy. And if you were embarrassed of the Lord, you did not want to be around Sister Sue. I mean, anywhere she went, she'd be at a ball game. She'd walk into the gymnasium. She saw a preacher. She'd say, praise the Lord. Well, she had a stroke. And I remember I drove, it was probably a 7-minute drive to the hospital where we were playing, from where we were playing basketball. And I was just, going over scriptures that I had committed to memory to try to encourage Sister Sue, to let her know that she's going to be okay. Now, the doctors, she had a stroke and half of her body was considered dead. The doctors said that she would never be able to speak normal. She would always have a slur. She would have immobility. I think it was on the left side. She would be in a wheelchair, confined to a wheelchair for the rest of her life. So I knew all this from the lady, Pat, that had came and told me. And so I'm driving to the hospital just thinking, how can I encourage Sister Sue? So I get in, and there was already some ministers there, local ministers in Logan, that was talking to her and stuff. And I turned the corner, and as soon as she saw me, now her left side of her body was immobile, but she took her right hand and grabbed her left wrist and raised both hands and said, praise the Lord, Brother Billy. And I thought to myself, how in the world, in her mess, in her situation, does she have the audacity to praise God? So we started, listen, I left encouraged. She encouraged me. So we left, we prayed for her, and I mean the power of God fell on her. 2 weeks later, I was preaching a revival in Logan, West Virginia, and I was up front talking to the pastor, Pastor Tim, before service. I hear it was a smaller church, maybe, I don't know, 100 people on this Monday night or something, and I'm up there talking to Pastor Tim, and I hear the doors open, and all of a sudden I hear, "Praise the Lord!" And I see Sister Sue walking down the middle of the aisle with both hands raised, praising the Lord. Because she knew that no matter what mess she was in, that God was going to get her through. Psalms 150 says, "Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty firmament. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent goodness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with a lute and harp. Praise Him with a timbrel and dance. Praise Him with the string instruments and flutes. Praise Him with the loud cymbals. Praise Him with the clashing cymbals." Verse 6 says, "Let everything that have breath praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord." Psalms 103:1 says, "Bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, all my soul, and forget not all of His benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name." He deserves your praise today. Now, growing up, I promise I'm an evangelist. I get two closings. This is my last one. Growing up, I used to love watching this movie. I'm not recommending this movie. It was a TV version back in the day, but I used to love watching the Rambo movies. Do we have any heathens in the church that used to like to watch the Rambo? My favorite Rambo movie was Rambo 3. When he gets in the, he's a POW, prisoner of war. Him and his commanding officer, Murdoch, is in there. They're being beaten, electrocuted, tortured, all these things. Rambo gets free. When Rambo gets free, he just doesn't take off and leave Murdoch behind. He goes back and he loads up. I mean, he's got every weapon. He's strapped with bazookas, grenades, knives, machine guns, all these handguns. I mean, he straps up and he's ready to go into battle. He comes back and he blows the entire prison up, the jail cells, all that, kills the enemy, gets Murdoch out and sets him free. Do you ever read over in Acts 16:25? It says that when now Paul and Silas begin to sing and praise the Lord, the presence of God showed up. Verse 26 says there was an earthquake and the jail cells begin to shake. And not only were Paul and Silas set free, but everyone in that jail was set free. So I want everyone to stand to their feet this morning. Go ahead and lift your hands and rejoice. Take the next 34.2 seconds and bless the Lord. Because not only are you being set free, but your family's being set free. Your community's being set free. Your job place, all these communities are being set free by the power of God. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. If you knew what was on the other side of your mountain, you would go ahead and rejoice because your breakthrough is coming today. Go ahead. Father, we bless you today. We will bless you at all times. Your praise will continually be in our mouth. Lord, we repent for giving in to doubt and unbelief and discouragement. We repent for saying negative things about our family, our children, our community, our workplace. But Lord, we're going to infiltrate the workplace, infiltrate the community, and bring your glory into those situations. We are soldiers on assignment that you have anointed for such a time as this. You're not just working as a coal miner to mine coal, but you're there for a purpose. You're not just doing electrical work just to be an electrician, but you're there for a purpose. You're not just teaching in the schools to be a teacher to get a paycheck, but you're there for a purpose. God's got a plan in your life. Jeremiah 1:5 says that God knew us while we were in our mother's womb. And Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11 says, "I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." So, Father, we bless you. Lord, we're going to live a life of praise these next 6 months, Lord. We believe that these are going to be the greatest months of our lives. Lord, that the latter year is going to be greater than the former part of this year. These next 6 months, Lord, I thank you for an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Revival taking place in the church and in the body of Christ. Lord, I know the statistics bear out that church attendance is up 30-some percent across the nation. It's because people are getting hungry for you. And I want you to know something, that revival doesn't come when the church gets full of people, but it's when the people get full of God. Matthew 5:6 says, "Blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Father, we bless you today. We praise you. With no one looking around, if you're here today under the sound of my voice, if you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, maybe you knew the Lord at one time and you've walked away and you're out of fellowship, you say, "Brother Billy, would you pray for me?" Just slip your hand up and back down is all I'm asking. I need Jesus in my life. Thank God for that hand. Thank the Lord for that hand. Anyone else? I know this wasn't a salvation message. I've been praying over the last several weeks, and this is what God had given me to encourage the church, to get behind your pastor and lift him up in prayer. And just, well, I love it when the world says, "Well, God's children can't do this or they can't do that." I believe God begins to flex his muscles in heaven and say, "Look what I'm able to do." Matthew 19:26 says, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Mark 9:23 says, "All things are possible to them that believe." Ephesians 3:20, "Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all we could ask or think, according to his power that works within us." For the couple hands that were raised, I want to ask you something. Will you come down here and let me pray with you? I would love to pray with you. Would you come? We'll pray the prayer of salvation, repentance, rededication, whatever your situation is. Would you come here today? This altar is always open. What we will do is we're going to pray as the body of Christ. We can do a corporate prayer. I want everyone to repeat after me. Say, "Dear Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart and save me. I commit my life to you. From this moment forward, I will serve you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen." If you prayed that prayer, go ahead and rejoice, because you're now a child of the Most High God. Luke 15:7 says, "There is more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that comes to repentance more than 99 just that need no repentance." Praise the Lord. Father, we just thank you for the opportunity that you have afforded us today to be in your presence. Lord, I thank you for Faith Christian Fellowship, for the anointing on Pastor Paul and Andy. Lord, that their best days are ahead of them. And Lord, as Pastor preaches the oracles of God and begins to speak, there's a supernatural anointing, an increase coming on his life that will destroy every yoke, every burden, every bondage that has been sent by the enemy in this community. We tear down strongholds. We declare the word of the Lord. Jesus, you are the same. Hebrews 13:8. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we declare that this day. Father, we love you, we worship you, and we praise you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise and shout.
Amen. Good word this morning, amen. Amen, hallelujah. You know, as I was sitting there thinking about that, what came to my mind was a glass of water. Do you see it half full or do you see it half empty? It's your perspective of it. And this kind of ties along what Pastor's series has been this last 8 weeks or however how long he's been on it. We'll go through things in life, church. But, man, you're more than victories. You're victorious, for Christ is in you. Amen. Amen. So just remember that. Good word. Thank you, Pat. You know, he has manual in him, don't he? He can quote the scripture. Amen. Just Brother Mike, and man, they quote the scripture. Man, it's a good place to be this morning. Man, y'all look good today. I pray a blessing upon you today. Father God, I pray for the congregation today. Lord, as we go today and enter the end, as we leave today this house, Lord, we pray, Father God, I pray a blessing upon them. I pray, Father God, Lord, that everything their hands would touch, Father, is blessed, Father God, in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father God. Once again, Father God, thank you for the word today. We receive it, Father God. And Lord, I thank you, Father God. Lord, we are a people that sees the cup half full. Amen. You keep pouring into it, Father. You keep let the cup runneth over in Jesus' name. And amen, man. Everybody have a good day. Have a good week. See you again. Amen. Oh, hey, real quick. Hey, men's forge tonight. I meant to announce it. Only announcement we got. Hey, 6 o'clock here at the church. Amen. It's 90-something. I've been in the heat for 2 days. We're not going to go to Tommy's today. We're going to be right here. Amen. So at 6 o'clock. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message. For more information, please visit us at faithchristianfellowship.com.